I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Our readings this morning are challenging, and we often, especially in the reading from Luke, get sidetracked a bit as to the core meaning of the parable. For the parable is a way of getting at a truth beyond what's being said. And I hope that we'll work at discovering that this morning. Listen to the gospel, but also first listen to the collect again, which takes us to some of the core meaning. O God, anoint us with the healing spirit of consolation and joy, so that we may rejoice in the richness of your love and be faithful stewards of your many gifts. We all prayed that together. We often hear these kind of words in the church, and we feel comfortable hearing them, and we know them in ourselves, that we are to be people of joy, people of love, people of forgiveness, people of consolation. But we sometimes fail to understand that those words and those qualities about us are profound and are in deeper meaning than how much gold and silver we have or don't have. What's really counting here in the parable in Luke is not so much about the money of the rich guy and how the machinations of the world, how they could take their riches and, being afraid of being fired, want to make friends with those who have money so the club will look after you after you're not working anymore. So I'll take all the bills and cut them in half and you only have to pay less. And then when I'm out of a job, you'll be good to me and still invite me to the club and buy me a scotch. You know, it's more than that. We often get seduced into this parable. What is going on? And we really talk about riches and who is harsh and who isn't harsh and what a good leader is. And we even this morning in our Bible study talked a little bit about Bill Gates and how Bill, who is one of the richest men on the planet, is giving away some of his riches. But what's underneath all of that are these qualities. And that's where the real wealth is. The real wealth is not in tangible goods of money, though we need basic money. But it's deeper than that. What's deeper than that is, who are we as people of God? What is driving us? What is the center of our life? What is driving us? Is it always worried about getting more? We all need basic money. I'd like to see a guaranteed annual income. They've tried these experiments. They found that they actually save money for the society when it's done, because there's less health costs, less police costs. All these problems, you know, diminish when people know they have a basic safety net of life. But I'm talking beyond that. What is the center? What drives us as individuals? What drives me? What drives you? What drove Jesus? Jesus was always compassionate and restorative, loving and forgiving. And when he was angry because God was being violated, or the image of God, like in the cleansing of the temple, was being violated because the chief priests were selling and making money off the religious practice of the day. And that made Jesus angry. That was where his anger would show. But most of the time, He was compassionate and caring, restorative, and holistic. I believe that Jesus would see God in every person around him. Not just those who went to the synagogues and the temple, but in every human being, he saw God. And saw God there and was encouraging those people to be loving and compassionate and caring and joyful. He didn't worry about whether they went to the temple or not. In fact, people who went to temple and put it on, he worried about. And so it has to be with us. We have to start having a bigger vision. You see, the riches that God gives us is to understand that God resides in every human being. That God resides in each of us, but also in all the people walking around. Those who understand God and those who don't. Those who acknowledge God and those who don't. Still have God within them. From the most powerful to the weakest. From the wealthiest to the poorest. And the challenge in the parable that we've heard from Luke today, that was read by John, our deacon in training, was the fact that we are called to see richness in humans and in people, not in material wealth. And that if we are starting to gain power through making deals, and it's all about the deal. It's all about making friends at any cost and throw away your ethics. Then Jesus is saying, you're in trouble. You're outside of the love of God. Now, sometimes, from time to time, all of us may have been tempted to do that. And okay, sure, I'll come and do this job, and I want you to fix my windows, and I'll pay you cash, and we won't pay the taxes. It's tempting. I know it all the time, the underground economy. I get asked all the time. But we have to hold off on that. Because the taxes we pay are assisting other people have a better life. The welfare, Medicare, other things come out of the taxes. The system is designed not to put somebody down and put somebody at disadvantage, but to be more equitable. It's not perfect, but it's there. So, what I believe Jesus is calling us this morning, and this parable is to start to see that the real riches are in relationships. That the real riches of God are in how we reach out and love each other and love ourselves and know that God loves us. To have the courage to risk to love and not to be always chasing money. We have a lot of goal displacement in our society where people displace relationships for money. You may have experienced it. You may have been tempted to go there. But God calls us to say, look, the treasure is in the relationship. The relationship between yourself to yourself, yourself to your neighbor, and all the people around us are neighbors and ourselves to God. That's where the riches are. The riches are not found buried between or beneath the Bank of Nova Scotia. I say that because in the Maritimes I can remember that when I lived in Summerside, the Bank of Nova Scotia in Summerside held all the gold for all the banks in the Maritimes. Why? Because they're on an island. And sadly, I had a prisoner who tried to break into it. Yep. And they just waited for him at the ferry. No bridge in those days. But it's not about the money. It's about relationship. An honest, caring, open, restorative, life-giving relationship. God wants that between God and us. Between ourselves to ourselves. Between ourselves and those around us. A relationship that's responsible, that's not used, not where one has got power over the other, but a sense of care and restoration. And we live in a world where those values are not really held up as being valuable day to day to day. So it's a challenge for us as Christians living in 2016. Because we don't get a lot of modeling of that. And I think in some ways it's more difficult now than in former times. Because we live in a world that seems to be so worried about who's the billionaire. And I'm a billionaire, so elect me. We have to get beyond that. We have to see that relationships that are beautiful and sustaining and restorative and holistic is the call of Jesus Christ. And so today, as we receive the sacrament, we have the sense of Jesus alive within us. I invite us to redouble our effort to have a good relationship with ourselves. Know that we are created lovable people, that we are good because we are God's people. And also to see the good and work at building relationships with others, even those who differ from us, to see God in every person around us. And to use that energy and take those risks as we walk as the people of God, restored and forgiven. May God bless us all. Amen.